Right now in the scenic group, we're talking to James Everest. He's a member of Roma de Luna and is also a musician and artist. And he's got a great project coming up this May, the 27th, as part of Art Along the Lake. It's a Harbor Park Sound Garden, part of a series of them that he's doing all about water and the seasons of the year. And he's here to tell us about that and also some new music from Roma de Luna as well. How are you doing, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me in, Will.
Absolutely. This sounds like such a really awesome project. There's been a couple of these already done, and it's like a physical space kind of being inhabited by sound. So what can you tell me about it?
Well, yeah, it's an installation. It's like a sound installation. I've got 30 to 40 different small independent speakers that are all playing a different part of one whole piece of music. And I'm composing it specifically for Harbor Park. And for that weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend, it's that Sunday, I'm doing one of these at four different locations for each season of the year, and so this one's going to be for spring. We did winter a few weeks ago down in Minneapolis on Lake Nokomis. We were out on the frozen lake, and so for spring, we're going to be here in Grand Marais in Harbor Park, and celebrating spring and the lake and water and really Harbor Park itself. Just like, it's such a cool space. It's such an important part of Grand Marais and the story of how it came to be, with people coming together to kind of reclaim this commons area for everyone. It's a place for everyone to come and gather, and it's just such a cool story how it came to be.
So this is going to be something that people are going to be encouraged to walk through and kind of take all in.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like an open house type thing. You know, it's part of Art Along the Lake, the open gallery tour event that's happening that weekend around town and kind of, I think, up and down the shore a little bit. And so, yeah, it's the kind of thing, if someone just wants to stop by and walk through, and for 5 minutes they can. But if they want to hang out for a couple hours, it's going to be a constantly churning, changing, like morphing kind of soundscape. But also there's going to be other elements like poetry and history and dance and sculpture, and there's going to be a live, like what I call the free range orchestra and choir, which are roving musicians and singers that are going to be also accompanying the sound installation. So it's going to be a really kind of living, breathing ecosystem there in the park.
So tell me more about the speakers kind of being hidden in different places, and each one is a little bit different.
Yeah, right. So I mean, you know, with the way when you make music, like, I guess the best way to kind of describe it or explain it is, if you imagine, you know, there's the orchestra and you have all the different parts of the orchestra. You have, you know, maybe four violins and you have three trumpets and four French horns or whatever. If you imagine each of those individual instruments being recorded, their whole part for the whole piece being recorded and put on an old iPod, and that's plugged into a wireless battery Bluetooth speaker. And then that speaker is then placed into either like an urn or a little pod that hangs from a tree, different vessels that'll be distributed all through the park. So then, and then they're all synced to play at the same time, so that you, as you're walking through the park, it's like you're walking through the kind of symphony of through all the different parts, but it's, the mix is constantly changing depending on not just where you're standing, but even how you turn your head, which way the wind's blowing, you know, and it'll be an hour long piece that will just loop continuously. So as you're there, you'll start to get more familiar with the music and with the score and how it's really inhabiting the space.
And tell me more about the free range orchestra and who's going to be part of that and what that component's all about. That sounds cool.
Well, yeah, it's really fun. I mean, as I got into doing, I call this basically spatial music. In that it's composed not just in terms of the normal musical terms like rhythm and harmony and melody and things like that, but it's also composed considering the space and considering its spatial distribution, and particularly as a way of really connecting to an actual place and really giving people a chance to kind of notice all of the, I don't know, the geography and the layout of a place. And so as I've gotten interested in doing that, making that kind of music, not just with these speakers, but with live musicians, I started kind of forming this concept of the free range orchestra and choir, which is musicians and singers that are comfortable kind of being outside of a comfort zone of like a traditional way of performing and playing music, and much more of being almost like part of an ecosystem. And so it's modeling things like sounds like bird calls. And like, for example, you know, what does a bird, how does a bird sing its song? You know, it's there and it's waiting and it's listening and it will sing out its song, but then it's listening to hear a response. And then another bird might hear that and respond, but across a space. And so if you're standing between two birds that are calling back and forth between each other, that's kind of the experience that I'm part of, the aesthetic of like experiencing it. So the way we're going to, the way we're doing it for each Soundgarden is I have a group of musicians, kind of a collective of people down in the cities that I've been working with over the last couple of years that are part of this free range orchestra and choir. But with each site that I'm going to, I'm also opening up an invitation to local musicians and singers that are interested in, you know, trying something that's kind of different and being part of the experience.
So that's going to be up to them and when they want to be that bird call coming in.
Right. I the way I really do it, part of the direction I give people is like, you know, maybe wait for at least an hour that you've been listening to the music and just hanging out in it and getting it inside of you and kind of getting familiar with it, so that then you can just simply trust your own instincts about what is your song going to be and what do you want to add to this tapestry that's already happening and already unfolding.
If you're joining us right now, we're talking to James Everest. He's putting together a Harbor Park Sound Garden as part of Art Along the Lake coming up in May the 27th. And so right now you're kind of like an artisan residence up here, kind of putting it all together?
Yeah, I've been up a couple times. There's a lot of local artists that are going to be participating, artists and organizations, and just writers and poets and historians. So I've been having meetings over at the Cook County Historical Society, at the museum, and with Carrie Johnson, and also with the Grand Marais Park Board. Dave Terstig's really been a huge supporter and is really excited and part of this. And so then there's other, some of the other local artists and musicians that are going to be also contributing and participating. So I've been doing that as well as just hanging out in Harbor Park and really kind of thinking it through and doing some experiments with some of the sounds and just composing, just writing music and creating some of the soundtrack that's going to happen.
Who are some of the local artists that have come on board with this so far?
Well, Neil Sherman, who is our plein air champion, genius oil painter, is going to be painting in the park, and his plan is to paint a series of paintings in different locations as the event is going. So these paintings will kind of accumulating, and you can watch Neil actually doing it there, and then he'll move to another site, and you'll see his unique way of seeing and looking at something at a particular scene. And that's kind of a big part of what I'm going for with this is that the whole point of it is to really connect people to a place in their community that they maybe already have a relationship with, but and will have an ongoing relationship with. But it's kind of a way to, in celebrating that space, really connecting people to a lot of the subtler aspects of it that they might not pick up on. And a great way to do that is to bring in different artists from different disciplines that relate to that space in their own way. So the way a dancer or a choreographer might relate to the space and express something, the way that a painter might do it will be very different. But by getting to kind of hang out and witness that and see, and an audience will get to actually see it through the painter's eyes or move through it the way and see the, how a dancer is moving through it, or a sound artist, or, you know, sculptor, or any of these different kind of ways of relating to the space, and just get this really broader kind of connection to it that I hope will be a more lasting kind of significant experience for people that they'll carry forward from that.
So having been out there and kind of putting this together and composing, has it changed how you thought it was going to go so far? Like now that you've been in Harbor Park and doing this?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm so used to this. I really love the process of just digging into a space, into a place, like really learning about it. And so I've spent a time over at the museum, the History Museum, just like looking at archival stuff, photos and the old documents, both about how Harbor Park came to be, but what was there beforehand, the gas station that was there, and all the different ways that it's been a big part of Grand Marais. And then just hanging out there and getting, and, you know, talking to Dave about some of the different like wildlife and things that are there, and the fact that the beavers have taken out most of all the trees that had ever existed, except for the one red pine that's there in the middle. And so just like really getting to know it, and it's just, I'm really just kind of keeping track of all these things, and then and all the different stories that are coming out of it, and all the different layers that I keep discovering, and then just kind of filtering them through. And then as I'm making the music, I just it just naturally will come out and find these connections between things, like the sounds that I'm creating and the kind of musical themes, but then the space itself and the history that's there. Mm.
So this is going to be on the 27th of May.
Yep.
And people are going to be walking through it. Is there any other way that they can interact with what's going on?
Well, sure, yeah. I've been meeting with different artists and musicians. Anyone who is, if there are people who are interested in being part of it, they can get in touch with us either through our website, wavelets creative.org, or through the Wavelets Creative Facebook page, and can find us there. And we've got a Facebook group that started where people are getting updated, and all the people that are involved and interested. And as far as people just wanting to check it out, the History Center is going to do a, the museum is going to run a little call for collecting people's favorite stories of Harbor Park over the years, if they have a favorite memory or something that happened there, or something about, or what they love about Harbor Park. And that they'll be doing, and I think they'll be on through Facebook, through the Historical Society's Facebook page. And then they'll take some of the best of those stories, and we'll actually print those out and have them there in the park. Oh, cool. Along with like old archival photos of Harbor Park and of that space, and stories, and there'll be storytelling happening, poetry being read. So
yeah, you got the written, the oral, the visual. It'll be the whole thing, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of layers, and like I said, folks can come in for just a little bit, but they can also just hang out for a while, or come and go to some other galleries and come back. It'll just be constantly shifting. It'll be really an interesting way to explore the space and the lake, and just see what it brings.
Cool. And I was going to ask, how did the first one go? And was it at Lake Nokomis?
Yeah, down in Minneapolis. Yep, we did the winter one on February 18th. And we did, that one was a little shorter. It was just for 2 hours. The one here will be from noon to 5. So it'll be a 5-hour kind of open house period. But with the winter and out on a lake in the middle of the winter, a little colder, we just kept it to 2 hours, which made sense, but it was really hard to set it all up and have it going, because it's a fair amount of work to get all these right pieces in place, and then to have to just tear it down right away. It's so cool once it's up and running. So that was a little bit frustrating, but I actually remounted the winter sound garden here in Harbor Park this past weekend, and as a way of just getting to hear it again, but also getting more familiar with Harbor Park itself and how things are laid out there, and getting some good ideas about how sound works in that space.
Cool. And where are the next two slated?
Summer is going to be on July 22nd in Silverwood Park in New Brighton, which is also kind of northern suburbs in the cities. And then fall will be at Monoman Park, where Rice Creek flows into the Mississippi River. And that's also, that'll be on September 30th. And I'm really excited about that. That'll be kind of a cumulative culminating event that coincides with kind of the harvest time, and with people coming together for that. It should be pretty cool. Each one of these we're also releasing kind of the recording. You can get the recording afterwards and download it to hear the music at, just as a stereo version.
Cool. Instead
of the, with some of the poetry mixed in. So we'll be putting the winter one up pretty soon. I'm just mixing in some of the poems that were read at that and written for that one, and we'll be having those on our Facebook page too.
Good. The stationary version.
Yeah,
here we
right
go. Well, once again, we're talking to James Everest about the Harbor Park Sound Garden coming up this May the 27th. That's a Sunday, for Art Along the Lake. And I also am glad you're here, because I want to talk to you about your other music, which is with Roma de Luna. And there's a new CD coming out.
Yeah, well, actually not a CD. It's going to be a vinyl album. And downloads. We decided, like, well, what's the point? We still have some CDs left from older records that people just, I know there's a lot of people that still buy CDs, but not in the way that they used to. So, but yes, there's a new Roma de Luna record that we actually recorded most of it with Rich Mattson over at Sparta Sound at his studio, where
good place.
You recorded your new record, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Rich is an old friend, and we did it a couple years ago, and not sure what we were going to do with it. We just had a bunch of songs that were both leftovers from the later days of Roma de Luna before we had this break, and then also some new songs. So we put them all together, and the name of the record is We Were Made to Forgive.
Very nice. And so this is also with you, and are you the bass player for this, or just...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess I guess call myself that. I ended up playing a lot of guitar and some other instruments on the record, but it's pretty open for, it's really developed into being a pretty creative collaboration with all six of us, and Ben Durant, who's also in the band and who's recorded and worked on a lot of the records at his studio in Minneapolis. We did a lot of work and did a lot of different kind of fun things with the mixes. It's pretty different new territory for the band. I think we really grew a lot in the last 6 years since the last record. So
right. And so how would you describe the sound of Roma de Luna? I've actually never been able to put a good, like, I don't want to label it, but I can't even think of like a good description that really captures.
You know, it.
It
started out as really like a folk duo. Channy and Alexi were a married couple, and they were just busking at the farmer's market and going through the Lomax songbook. And she was playing fiddle and he was playing acoustic guitar. And that's when I met them and we started working together. And so at that point I was pretty much like, it was about staying in the traditions and, you know, as bass player being pretty minimal. But then as the band, as we took on other members and kept morphing it, and it was clear that everybody was into a lot of different styles of music. I mean, Alexi was a rapper for years. We was in Atmosphere for a while and Kill the Vultures. And as clear that Channy, where she was going, Roma de Luna was her first band, but since then all her work with Police and shows that she's actually not just trying, you know, is interested in a lot of different styles and approaches. And all of us were, you know, so it was, we got more creative and more, you know, just kept wanting to stretch beyond what we were doing. So then it started becoming almost like a Staple Singers kind of R&B, folk R&B's vibe. And, I mean, on the new record, there's just all kinds of, there's some pretty rockin' stuff, and there's some, even like Afrobeat flavored stuff. And, so it's at the core of it all, it's like, it's about, Channy is such a great vocalist and such a great songwriter, and she really writes her songs to kind of get to a place and a moment where she can use her vocal talents to really just put all the emotion there and really kind of just like push it up to a kind of a breaking point or something, just to have a real like kind of cathartic experience. And she really, that's a big part of her intention with the way she approaches songwriting and singing. And so that's at the kind of core of it. And the rest of the band is just like, okay, how can we support that happening? And it might be a totally different stylistic approach in each song, but at the core is this kind of immediate sense of like really having a strong emotional content.
Totally. And I'm really excited to listen to this because I was aware of Roma de Luna back during the last album 6 years ago. And since then, I've just become so much more of a fan of Police and Kill the Vultures. Now going back and having something new from this group, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. We've had so much fun playing with each other. It was a little less than a year ago. Over a year ago when we all got back in touch, and we had been friends and we were still working with each other in different ways. But we had an opportunity to do a benefit for Standing Rock, and that was kind of the impetus for us all to get together. And we started playing together and rehearsing the old songs, and really, it was just so much fun to be together and playing those. They're such great songs, and it was so much fun. And by the time we were done, we started getting offers to do other gigs throughout the summer, and we did Big Top Chautauqua and the Art of Whirl and the Square Lake Festival. And but in doing that, everybody was like, it's so fun to play again. We are really a great kind of ensemble when we play. There's so much history there. But we don't want to keep playing these old songs, so let's do something new. So that's where kind of the drive to put out this new record came from.
And so it's coming up May 4th.
May 4th with a show at the Cedar Cultural Center down in Minneapolis. And
going to be more gigs after that? Or?
I think so, yeah. I don't think there's, I think there's a couple things planned, but nothing's, nothing I can confirm right now.
So. Okay. Well, awesome. Let's listen to a song. I think you picked this one out. This is actually a Roy Orbison cover.
Yeah, Crying. One of his, like, it was, I think it was Roy Orbison's first big hit from like 1960 or something like that. But yeah, it's a beautiful song. And Chaney has a way of reinterpreting cover tunes that's just, you're like, wait, that's not how it goes. And then she does it her way. And it's just like, you kind of, she kind of owns it in her own way. So.
That's the way covers should be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's, well, yeah. It, yes. It's good.
Well, we're going to listen to this. James, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about the Harbor Park Project and the new Roma de Luna album. If you go onto WTIP.org, soon after this, when this is posted, there should be a video of James with his speakers and getting kind of the idea of the sound of what the Soundgarden is going to be like. So thanks again for coming in.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for having me.
So this is Roma de Luna from We Were Made to Forgive, Roy Orbison's Crying.